Hour number two of our radio program. That's right. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Spencer Rattler, the quarterback at South Carolina, going to join us coming up 20 minutes from now. Matt Maiocca will join us at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, and sandwich in between Spencer and Matt will be Carrington Harrison as we have to preview the Kansas City How About Them Chiefs coming up later today. Two reactions from over the weekend with, as they say, week zero in college football, as it was for the most part a snooze fest. Let's start it out in Dublin, Ireland, where you did have the Notre Dame Fighting Irish just dominate up against the Navy midshipmen. Navy has a new head football coach with Kenny Amatulolo getting sent packing, someone I really enjoyed as a college football coach. But for Marcus Freeman to start year two, they take care of business. They dominated the game, and they kicked the crap out of Navy, as they should. Notre Dame is a team that I talked about a lot in the offseason, where I know it's tough to hype up Notre Dame because we've seen a playbook before from the Fighting Irish where they have these really good regular seasons, then people believe in them, and then all of a sudden they're in the college football playoff or they're in a BCS national championship game, and it doesn't go their way. But I really liked what Notre Dame did this offseason, bringing in Sam Hartman, who I think a lot of us have been pulling for and a lot of us have been rooting for ever since he was the quarterback at Wake Forest for a variety of different reasons. And I know you don't want to get all nuts and all crazy after one game and you're going up against an inferior football team that still has not accepted that this is football in 2023 and they only throw the ball seven times in the contest, but that's Navy. And you look at what Sam Hartman did, he gave you a reason, even though it is Navy, to say, okay, I want to see how far Notre Dame can take it this year. Because Sam Hartman, who is a really good quarterback at Wake Forest, was just so efficient on Saturday afternoon. Where he goes 19 to 23, marches up and down the field. You get estimate in the run game as well. As he goes for on 16 carries, 95 yards, and a rushing touchdown. Team puts up 191 yards on the ground. But through the air, Sam Hartman was 19 to 23, 251 yards, and four touchdowns. Like, that's a definition of perfection when you didn't have to be perfect to open up the season. Now, the only thing that gives me a little bit concern and makes me pause for a second with Notre Dame is not that I don't think they could be a successful team this year, because I like Marcus Freeman, I like Sam Hartman, but you look at that schedule, they have three games that are really tough. Where you're playing Ohio State coming up on September 23rd, you should be undefeated until then. You play Tennessee State, you got NC State, and Central Michigan. If your toughest game to start off the year is NC State, you should be able to get to be undefeated by September 23rd. But then you're playing Ohio State. Now, it is at your house, to be fair. After that, you play Duke. You play Louisville. And then you get another really tough game up against USC. You play Pitt. They're no slouch. Then you get Clemson. And that's at Clemson. Then how about this? You get Wake Forest and Stanford. So you look at those three games. And I get it. A team could stumble along the way. We saw Notre Dame last year stumble against Marshall. Right? Remember last year, even you had Miami, who was like early on the first two games of the season, people were talking optimistically about them, and then they stumbled in a big way. But you look at a team like Notre Dame, sometimes a team has a big week one, and you go, oh, it's such an inferior opponent. It's not really something you have to take seriously. But for Notre Dame, what Hartman did, if he could continue to do that, easier said than done, but he has all the skills in the world and he has the capability to be a big-time quarterback, I just really hope that we see this Notre Dame team get to that September 23rd game against Ohio State, and that's really when their season starts. Because you look at Ohio State, they got question marks this year. I know that they're loaded at wide receiver. We don't know what their quarterback's going to be. USC, tremendous with Caleb Williams. On the offensive side of the ball, they could put up a bazillion points, but they got no defense. And then for Clemson, you know, I think people are going to think this sounds harsh when I say it, but Clemson has fallen. Where, yes, they still won the ACC last year, but you looked at Clemson for a few years, as one of the best teams in college football and a team that was a lock to get into the college football playoff like every year. Now in life after Trevor Lawrence, it did not work with DJ Uiagalelei. They've changed coordinators. We now know that multiple times. And now it's Kincaid Klubnik, be that Deshaun Watson, be that Trevor Lawrence, and not only just keep on winning the ACC at Clemson, but getting Clemson back to the college football playoff and being a threat. So you have three really tough games this year, but all three of those teams have flaws. Ohio State at the quarterback, USC with the defense, and Clemson, we know that they're very good. Can they be great? But I look at what Notre Dame did over the weekend. Once again, fully cognizant. It's one game against an inferior football team, bringing in a new coach, where pound for pound, we know Notre Dame is 10 times better than Navy. But how many times do we see teams on paper be 10 times better than another team, and either they don't get up for the game, the game's closer than what it should be, or you're sluggish through the first three quarters and you wake up in the fourth, or you lose the game. So I don't want to just quickly dismiss Notre Dame's performance and just chalk it up to, oh, it was Navy. Because Notre Dame, they had a job to do, and they didn't only just do the job well, they executed pretty much a flawless game plan. And it creates some early excitement where the first 2 weeks of the season for most programs, and I know you get South Carolina against UNC. I know you get LSU coming up against Florida State. I know we have Alabama and Texas in week two. But for the most part, a lot of these first or second games of the season are cupcake games. A lot of them is why Michigan can self-impose a three-game suspension on Jim Harbaugh, because you play cupcake, cupcake, cupcake. And just because it's a cupcake doesn't necessarily mean that you just quickly dismiss that cupcake and devour that cupcake. Sometimes it takes time, and sometimes it's ugly. And Hickey, that's why I'll give a lot of credit to Notre Dame, where you were looking to make a first impression. Yes, you're not going to totally win everyone over, but seeing what Sam Hartman did and how the way that I view Sam Hartman in the past, it makes you wonder how far can Notre Dame take it this year. I know we talked about this a little bit last week, but I said it. You want to have a successful season, and I know there's a three tough opponents, Ohio State, USC, and Clemson. Go take two out of those three games. I know that that's a big ask. But if this team wants me to start talking about them as a college football playoff team, you got to beat two out of the three of Ohio State, USC, and Clemson.
Without a doubt. Oh, yeah. That's everything else. Anything short of that's a non-starter for even throwing them in the conversation. Without a doubt. I mean, not taking anything away from Notre Dame, I'll be honest, my biggest takeaway from Saturday is just how far Navy has fallen. They didn't even look competitive. And that's a team that even when they lose, they make it tough, they muck up the game, and just to be non-competitive as they were was, I mean, again, a credit to Notre Dame in one sense, but also eye-opening to see just this program slipping. I know it's tough, obviously, to recruit and run an offense, but that felt like it was a JV high school team.
And it wasn't that long ago where that team was in the American Athletic Conference championship game. And I know people could say, oh, here comes Zach, making a Temple reference and all that, because Temple did beat them that day. But it wasn't that long ago where that was a football team that was in an American Athletic Conference championship game, and they were a team that was a big force. And a team where, sure, you could just roll your eyes and say, oh, it's the AAC, but they've produced a lot of talent and a lot of coaches that get plucked in other places. So we're talking about, what, 2016? Where they were in the AAC championship game and they lost to Temple. Then also, I don't know if they won it that year, but they had like an 11-win season. I want to say that it was back in 2019. I don't remember who won the American Athletic Conference championship game back in 2019, but this is a program that for a while, you look at what they were able to do, you know, they were really damn good. And they did not make the American Athletic Conference championship game in 2019, but they did go 11-2 that year. And now, ever since there, where you saw them make that AAC title game, then a few years later, after a 3-10 season, they go 11-2. It's been a program 3-7, 4-8, 4-8, and just, you know, couldn't even put up 20-something points against Notre Dame. Like, you lose that game 48-21, let's say, with the new head football coach, it's like, it's okay. But 45-3, Hickey, as you said, it's embarrassing. It really is.
Fundamentally sloppy, wasn't, you know, didn't threaten really after the first quarter. Yeah, it was pretty bad. Not take anything from Notre Dame or demean by any stretch of the imagination what Sam Hartman did, but it was bad.
Now, let me just throw a cupcake the other way. San Jose State, cupcake for USC. If you just read the box score, sure, 56-28, blowout, even though they didn't cover the spread. Caleb Williams, 4 passing touchdowns. The offense, we know, is sensational. But that defense for USC, after a whole offseason, hearing how much they stink, how much they cost USC a spot in, and not only beat a Pac-12 champ last year, but also in the college football playoff, and you're going up against San Jose State, and you can't show a pulse on the defensive side of the ball, where we're talking about at one point going into halftime, this is a 21-14 game. And then in the second half, you know, it was 21-14 USC, and then it gets to 35-21 before USC starts to pull away. I look at that USC defense, and I get it. The head coach is one of the brightest offensive minds. The quarterback is going to be the number one overall pick in the draft. He is phenomenal. But we're talking about, and I know everyone says the Pac-12 is dead, the Pac-12 is over. The Pac-12 is still playing football this year, though. And the Pac-12 has an abundance of really good offenses and really good teams. And I know, as Hickey has said numerous times, if Caleb Williams didn't get hurt last year, they win the Pac-12, they go to the college football playoff, all that stuff. I understand that. But you look defensively, that defense, even with how I think the world of the quarterback and the quarterback is phenomenal, I know it's not going to get fixed overnight, but you want to talk about making a good first impression? Like, Sam Hartman did that for Notre Dame up against a cupcake team, which is not easy to do because it's a cupcake team. But up against a cupcake team, that USC defense could have at least made a statement. Could have showed, let's get off on the proper footing for this year and show people, even though no one's going to fully believe, that there is some difference from last year. But that San Jose State offense had its way, even though the final score is 56-28 with that USC defense. And that defense, Hickey, it's the biggest storyline for USC this year. Because USC could accomplish anything this year if, and only if, that defense becomes serviceable. It's kind of similar to Kansas City, where, and I know a lot of people, they compare Caleb Williams to Mahomes. But you look at the two times the Chiefs have won the Super Bowl, their defenses in the regular season have not been great. But there's a certain time in the year where the defense was able to make timely stops, and Spagnuolo was able to get the most out of that defensive unit. For Alex Grinch, who I don't know why he still has a job as a defensive coordinator for USC, and it's because him and Lincoln Riley are like best friends. But you now have to find a way to make your defense serviceable. And you play Nevada, you play Stanford, you play Arizona State, you play Colorado, you play Arizona. You got some opponents to be able to mess around, tinker some things with. But when you get to Notre Dame, when you get to Utah, when you play Washington, when you play Oregon, you better be ready to be serviceable. You better be ready to go. Because if you don't, Hickey, that's going to cost this team once again.
And that's why I'm not panicking. Yeah, a lot of freshmen playing, a lot of transfers. You changed a lot. You overhauled a lot from last year's defense to this year's defense. Look, it's San Jose State. Do you want to see
28 points they put up?
7 points on the board, 10 points on the board, a shutout? Obviously, yes. But Arizona is the first team that's going to have some legit offense and probably give you some problems. That's October 7th. We have a month to go for that game. You got time to figure it out before the schedule gets challenging. I think, again, they're still, even with this output in game one, not going to be as bad as they were last year as they will be this year. And if you get even a marginally improved defense, this team's winning the Pac-12 and going to the college football playoff. That's all you need.
They had all offseason to try to figure this out. And I'm not saying that they can't eventually find a way to make it serviceable in the regular season. But that defense looked horrendous the other day. Absolutely horrendous. I'm not asking them to be great. I'm not asking them to be a model, a statue. Look serviceable. And it couldn't even look serviceable against San Jose State. Yikes. Yikes, yikes, yikes. That's what I kept on saying when you were seeing USC go up against San Jose State with that defense. It was just yikes. Because you look at the offense is amazing. The offense is humming. The offense is Caleb Williams, the most talked about player this year in college football, the Heisman Trophy winner. And every time you look at Caleb Williams, it's like, all right, we know he can score. We know he's the man. We know he's the guy. We know he's going to be the number one overall pick. But then defensively, it's like, put a blanket over your head and just hope that this defense could be able to make a stop when it matters the most.
That's all you're asking for. One step a game. That's all you need. That's all you need. And so when the bar is that low, again, you're not asking for them to
And you have play confidence that they'll head. Be able to do that?
Yes.
That's your national championship pick, is that right?
Yes, sir.
Who do you have them going up against, just wondering?
I did not even do the bracket, I guess. I would probably say Georgia.
Against right Georgia. So Georgia, yeah. USC, you had Michigan in there, and then you also had Penn State.
That's right, yes.
Ooh. Okay. Look at Hickey. Look at Hickey. Put it as Nittany Lions in the playoffs.
A lot of people are on the Knits. Let me tell you, nervous.
You know me. I can't stand your alma mater. I actually think you have a better shot of being right about Penn State getting into the college football playoff than USC winning a national championship this year. I'm not saying USC can't get to the college football playoff, but when you go up against the big boys, as great as your quarterback is, that defense, that Swiss cheese defense for the Trojans, is going to come back to bite them in the you-know-what. Look at me praising Penn State on a Monday. It only goes downhill from here. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. I wish you guys could see Hickey right now. He just gave like a chuckle and a big grin, just shocked that I was saying something nicely about your alma mater. It's a new college football season, Hickey. It's a new me.
Yeah, I don't like it. I don't like it.
I helped you for basketball.
No, you did not. Yes. No.
I got on your team's bandwagon. No. We walked hand in hand to the second round of the NCAA tournament.
They were not missing that game. Doesn't matter if you said they're going to win by 40, they're going to lose by 40.
We are.
No.
We are. We are.
You should feel disgusted, those words even coming out of your mouth.
Yeah, I do feel dirty. I have to go wash my mouth out with some soap. So we'll take a break. When we come on back, we will talk to Spencer Rattler, the star quarterback at, I guess you could say, USC. I think that's always the USC Trojans, but if you're down south, you'd be saying that's the South Carolina Gamecocks. So Spencer Rattler getting set to go off against Drake May and the UNC Tar Heels. It's a big game this weekend for week one. Not big games. That's one of them. We'll talk to the quarterback next.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show. We miss college football.
Bennett takes the snap and the shotgun, throws for the corner. Brock Bowers one-on-one. Caught! Touchdown! He ate him alive! Falls down into the end zone. Six more for Georgia.
We can't wait for the 2023 season.
Caleb Williams throws the fade in the corner. Oh, caught! Touchdown, Trojans!
And we're counting down the days to kickoff.
Are we there yet?
No.
Are we there yet?
I said no.
Are we there yet?
What's wrong with your ears?
Here is your college football fix, only on the Zach Gelb Show.
That's right. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. 5 days away from South Carolina against North Carolina. 7:30 p.m. Eastern. Spencer Rattler against Drake May. On ABC, we can't wait for that big showdown at Bank of America Stadium. And now joining us is Spencer Rattler, the quarterback at South Carolina, kind enough to jump on board with us on CBS Sports Radio. Spencer, always appreciate the time. How you been?
I've been great. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks so much for coming on. So you guys really finished the season on a high note, taking down two top 10 teams in Tennessee and then also Clemson. You played sensational. When you look back at year one for you coming over from Oklahoma, playing at South Carolina, how do you kind of recap last season?
You know, last year, we did finish out the season very strong, but, you know, we had a lot of high points during the season as well, doing a lot of things for the first time, beating Kentucky for one of the first times in a while, A&M. I know statistically it wasn't the best for our offense, but, you know, we found a way to win. And you're right, at the end of the season, you know, we figured out what works for us. We did what we did and finished out strong.
What's been the vibe? I always like Shane Beamer. I think his just personality is infectious and he always has high energy. But what has been the vibe around this program during the offseason as you guys get ready to kick off coming up in 5 days from now, another season of Gamecock football?
Yeah, just a lot of excitement in the city of Columbia, you know, and for the right reasons. You know, Coach Beamer's got this program headed in the right direction. You know, but the vibe has just been in the work. I mean, we've been head down grinding. I mean, every single day throughout this summer, stacking these days together and getting that chemistry down, and we're looking great right now.
Your offensive coordinator a year ago, Marcus Satterfield, departed to join Matt Rhule's staff at Nebraska. Now Dow Loggins comes in. How has been the offense been looking, and what does Dow really bring to this football team?
I've been loving what Dow's doing with our group. I mean, we're gelling so quick. Everybody picked up the playbook fast, and you know what we're doing is just it plays to our strengths really well. And you know, like he says, he kind of wants me to be a point guard out there just dishing. So I love what he's doing. I love his confidence in us, and it's going to be fun on Saturday.
When you say play to those strengths, if someone hasn't seen your game or if someone hasn't seen this offense in the summer, what do you kind of anticipate the offense to look like?
Yeah, you know, I can't give you too much on that, but you know, just getting the ball to our playmakers. You know, it's as simple as that. You know, get the ball in the hands of the guys that make plays, and they'll make plays for you. Obviously, you know, got to protect up front, be able to run the ball. But, you know, we got to hit on all cylinders. So, you know, we've been clicking on every part, putting everything together. And I think you guys will like what you see on Saturday.
Yeah, I was talking to your coach a few months ago, Shane Beamer, Spencer Rattler, and he said the sky's the limit for you this year individually. Do you kind of feel that as well?
You know, I'm confident as ever right now. You know, it comes from our coaching staff, what they've been doing with us this offseason, you know, how we're looking as a group. You know, I'm confident in not just me, but our whole group. You know, I want us to be one of the most explosive offenses in the country. So that's going to be our plan moving forward this year.
At the end of the year, Spencer, how do you hope we're talking about you and the program?
You know, everything will take care of itself. I like to say, you know, if we all succeed as a team, everybody will have their own personal success. So I think that's what's so special about, you know, this program is we care about winning number one overall and turning this program around like we've been doing. And if we take care of that, everybody's personal goals will fall in line.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, and last year when I talked to you, I thought you were in a good spot. You sound like you're in a great spot now, but with the ups and downs of playing this sport, just mentally, where are you at with all that has happened in your college career?
Mentally amazing right now. I mean, just 100%.
And then coming back, what kind of factored into that decision to give it another go at South Carolina?
You know, I feel like we just left something on the table. You know, I feel like we could have won a few more games last year that we let slip out of our hands. And, you know, not just me, but Juice and some other guys wanted to come back, added some key transfers as well. So, you know, we're trying to do special things this year. And for me, you know, I have a chance to graduate in December. So that was a big reason on why I wanted to come back, get that degree, and just left some stuff on the table. Want to have a big year this year with the guys.
Yeah, I always like to ask this question as Spencer Rattler is here with us. Clearly, football takes up so much of your life right now, but let's just say if you didn't want to become a football player, what would Spencer Rattler be doing professionally?
That's a great question. Definitely something around the game. You know, I enjoy being around sports. I've always been around sports as a kid. Now, I mean, definitely something around the game on the business side, you know, but hey, the plan A is the NFL and, you know, plan B, that's why I'm getting that degree.
Spencer Rattler here with us. So you had a little crossover at Oklahoma with Jalen Hurts, right? Jalen had to transfer as well, and Jalen's been doubted, and now we're seeing what Jalen's doing in the NFL. He's one of the better quarterbacks that almost won a Super Bowl last year. What do you kind of take from your time being around Jalen Hurts?
Yeah, I learned a lot from him. You know, he was like a mentor to me when I was at Oklahoma, just watching how he moved, watching how he led, prepared, everything like that. I learned a lot my freshman year, you know, watching how he worked.
And then to see the success that he's having now, knowing all that he had to go through, is that kind of inspiring to you?
I mean, it's awesome for him. You know, everybody's journey is different. You know, he went through a similar journey, you know, I went through, so it's cool to see. But, yeah, everybody's, you know, meant for a purpose, and you know, I'm happy for him, and he's definitely at the top of his game right now.
Do you guys still keep in touch at all? Just wondering.
here and there, you know, through DM and stuff like that. But, you know, he's very busy, I'm sure, and I am too.
Spencer Rattler here with us. So when you take a look at this UNC defense, what are the things that maybe could present some challenges for you guys coming up on Saturday?
You know, they're going to try to come out and do some things to slow us down. You know, it might be with blitzing, different looks. But, you know, you got to be ready for anything. It could always be a whole different look. So, you know, but the main thing is focus on what we got going on. You know, execute our plays at a high level and we'll be all right.
And then you know how this is built, Spencer Rattler. You've been around the block before. I know you're going up against their defense, but I even said in the intro, everyone's going to be talking about Drake May up against Spencer Rattler. When you look at Drake May's games, you know, just being as a quarterback, what kind of stands out to you about the type of quarterback he is and leader?
You know, I got a lot of respect for him. He blew up on the scene last year, had a great season. You know, watched a few of his games, very talented player. Got a lot of respect for him. You know, he's definitely going to, you know, have our hands full on Saturday, so our defense will have to be ready. But, you know, I know everybody's hyping it up, you know, me versus Drake May. But, you know, at the end of the day, my focus is, hey, let's go out here and help my team get in the best position to win. And, you know, that's my main focus, and I'm sure his too.
So I know now as you get closer to the season, right, students start coming back to campus, just not the guys on the football team. What's kind of been the hype around campus and the word around campus, what people are saying to you as you get set to square off against UNC?
You know, really, I'm not around campus as much as you think. I live off campus. I only got one in-person class that actually starts tomorrow. But I know the excitement is high. I know everybody's excited for the game. People are running in the community. They're jacked up for Saturday. A lot of the people will be going down. So we'll see a lot of Garnet in those stands on Saturday.
What is it like when Spencer Rattler walks into a classroom on campus at South Carolina?
It's fun. You know, a lot of fans, obviously, in the class. And, you know, I always take time to say what's up, take a picture, sign something for them. So it's all love over here.
Let me ask you about Caleb Williams, just because you guys will always be tied together. We now see what Caleb did last year for USC and what he did the other night to try to go get another Heisman Trophy. Do you guys have a relationship, you and Caleb Williams, or not much?
You know, I play at USC, you know, South Carolina, and he plays at Southern California. So, you know, I'm pretty sure we're both focused on our own journey, our own team, and yeah.
Well, hey, I appreciate the time. I always enjoy catching up with you. Good luck this upcoming season. Hope to do it again real soon.
Appreciate it.
There he is, Spencer Rattler, USC, South Carolina, going up against UNC coming up on Saturday night. Should be a good one, no doubt about that. And you also have another big game this weekend between Florida State and LSU. And also, Hickey, I'm actually intrigued to see TCU Colorado. Where Colorado, I know we had Deion Sanders last week. It's what is Colorado going to look like with Shador Sanders? And you have Travis Hunter, who plays both sides of the ball. But then TCU is a team that everyone says is going to regress this year because you lose Quinton Johnson, you lose Max Duggan, you were in a national championship game. No one's expecting to get back to the national championship game. So there's going to be some regression. But the question just is, how much regression will there be for the Horned Frogs over at TCU?
I'm very intrigued. I mean, obviously more for Colorado just because we've never seen, right, this before. We've seen Deion Sanders at Jackson State, but now you bring all these transfers in. I am very excited. Big noon kickoff, so kind of a great way to get the day started on Saturday. I think TCU will win. Don't think it's a hot take per se, but...
No, you've had a lot of hot takes. That's not a hot take.
I am fascinated to see how competitive Colorado is right away with all these moving pieces in the offseason.
And you know what's also could be a little bit of an intriguing game this weekend? I'll definitely be watching. Andy Avila's going to join us tomorrow, the head coach at Boise State. So I'm not just saying that because he's going to join us. But Boise State and Washington. Michael Penix, can you recreate what you did last year where you could have been a Heisman Trophy finalist, right? You made the case. Can you do that? And Boise State's one of those programs that everyone knows, going back to clearly that great Fiesta Bowl up against Oklahoma too. And Boise State's always a program that people have a soft spot for. So you don't have a ton of great games this weekend, but you have some games that you definitely want to poke around and see what happens here on the college football docket. But outside of those four, it really is going to be a boring week for college football, but it's great to have it back.
I know it doesn't count because it's on Thursday, not Saturday, but I am jacked up for Utah, Florida. Nice game, really, truly, if you don't want to acknowledge week zero,
yeah,
get the season going here in the right direction.
And also the big question is, will Cam Rising play? And I saw that gambling line last week. Is that -4.5 for Utah? I'd seen it gone up to -6.5. So is that Vegas maybe getting a little intel that Cam Rising is going to play? And it's a big year for Billy Napier with Florida. I actually have a different game I'm interested in on that Thursday. That Thursday night, y'all, a little go big red with Nebraska and Minnesota with Mr. Row Your Boat there in PJ Fleck. That's an 8 p.m. Eastern time game on Fox. And that's another storyline here. In year one, Nebraska with Matt Rhule, Luke Fickell with Wisconsin. There's higher expectations for Wisconsin. What will those two coaches, Rhule, who rebuilt Temple, rebuilt and saved Baylor? We know what Luke Fickell did at Cincinnati in the college football playoff. It's like, what are those two coaches going to do in Nebraska and then also over at Madison in Wisconsin with the Badgers? So some intriguing storylines. Not the greatest week of football, but once again, it is great to have the sport back. You can think of Riley Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at Riley Auto Parts. So come on back. Five questions, five answers. We'll do a little onside, offside on this Monday.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. Zach's taking on the most polarizing issues in sports. Which side of the line of scrimmage will he end up on?
Offside. Defense number 69.
It's Onsides, Offsides with Zach Gelb on CBS Sports Radio.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Wesley Financial. Stuck at a timeshare and want out? Contact Wesley Financial Group now and get a free timeshare exit information kit at WesleyFinancialGroup.com. All right, Hickster, what do you got for me?
Z-Man, a few days after Trey Lance was demoted to third string.
Hickster and the Z-Man. Sounds like it could be a band, by the way.
Good covers only. No originals. Drives you crazy people play originals. Songs that only get the bars jumping every time.
And
that's
you could
what I'm
be
saying.
Partying like a band member, because I saw your little escapade this weekend. What, you go to 14 bars with your buddy? And you had to post about it all over social media as if you were like a college freshman or something like that?
13. I don't want to, you know, over-exaggerate, but 13. Very proud of myself.
Awesome.
Very proud. So that's us. That was how Saturday was. Showing my friend from Maryland, New York City, for the first time. All right.
Because no one says tour guide in New York City like Hot Ticket.
You said it. You said it, not me. I would agree with that. Trey Lance, demoted third string, the former number three overall pick, was traded to the Dallas Cowboys over the weekend for a fourth round pick.
How about them Cowboys?
Interestingly, from San Francisco's perspective, right, they said no thank you to Lance, but in Kyle Shanahan's six seasons as head coach, they've used at least three quarterbacks in four of the 6 years. And now behind Brock Purdy and Sam Darnold is Brandon Allen there at QB3. Onsides or offside, Zach? The 49ers made a mistake in trading Trey Lance for a fourth-round pick.
On sides. Here is why. This team is loaded. This team has Super Bowl aspirations. And their one big question mark is still the quarterback. Brock Purdy was awesome last year. I don't know if we'll be able to continue it this year. And if he either unfortunately gets hurt or isn't the guy, then you're relying on Sam Darnold. Really? Sam Darnold, Mr. Bono, Mr. Seeing Ghosts. That's who you're going to rely on. So would I rather have a fourth-round pick, or would I rather have a guy that I move mountains to go get that only has started four games in the NFL? No one still really knows what he is, but there's more upside than Sam Darnold. Yeah, I'd rather have Trey Lance than a fourth-round pick. So that's why I think it's a mistake by the San Francisco 49ers.
All right, let's talk about this trade from the other perspective, and that's the Cowboys, because guess what? Jerry Jones does what he does best, make waves continually. Now, despite constantly publicly preaching he loves Dak Prescott, his actions so far the last few years have rarely matched that. Jones paid Zeke before paying Dak, Dak's contract negotiations to drag out publicly, mentioned over the weekend he wanted to draft Jalen Hurts back in 2020, and now just traded for Trey Lance. Onsides or offsides, Zach? Dak Prescott should feel disrespected by the Dallas Cowboys.
That's offside, because
offside.
If Dak Prescott actually spends a single second thinking about Trey Lance, it shows you why Dak Prescott shouldn't be your franchise quarterback. I need my franchise quarterback to be the alpha. I need my franchise quarterback to have the most confidence in the world. And if he's sitting there saying, man, there's this third string quarterback that we just traded a fourth round pick for, when I have a contract right now and getting told I'm going to get a new contract, and I'm going to devote my attention about feeling disrespected or looking at Trey Lance, then you're a fool. You're a fool. Because this is a big year for Dak. Your defense is great last year. Offensively, in the playoff game, you stunk. You're a good quarterback. Show people you can be a great quarterback this year. And if you spend one little second thinking about Trey Lance, shows me you're not the guy. So if he feels disrespected, it's a joke. They trade a fourth-round pick for the guy. Guy's listed as a third-string quarterback right now. You don't need to be disrespected by that. I think the Cowboys actually made a good move. Guy was third overall pick. Team traded three first-round picks for him, and you get him for a fourth-round pick where Dak has some tendencies the last 3 years to get hurt, where he basically missed the full season and then last year missed like four or five games. It's insurance. That's what it is.
Jonathan Taylor has until tomorrow to find a trade partner, or he reportedly will be a member of the Colts in 2023.
Oh, come on. Come on, Jim. You won't trade him, Jim. Jim Irsay, you won't do it. You don't want to do it, Jim. Come on, Jim. Now I sound like Tony Romo. Wait a second, Jim. Come on, Mr. Irsay. Trade him.
Well, according to NFL Network's Ian Rappaport, could be likely. As Rap Sheet said on Pat McAfee's show earlier today, he thinks it's more likely than not that Jonathan Taylor will be traded. And he mentioned the Dolphins and another team, a mystery team, if you will, are in real serious negotiations to try to land the former second round pick, I should say, and 2021 rushing leader. So I'll ask you straight up, onsides or offsides, Zach. Jonathan Taylor will be traded by tomorrow.
I'm going to go offside here.
Offside.
And I actually agree with Hickey that it's more likely that he won't get traded compared to him getting traded. But here's where Hickey and I disagree. I think right now, last week I said 60-40 doesn't get traded to getting traded. I think now that's like 51% not getting traded, 49% getting traded. I think it's close. I think it's very close to a coin flip. But the man that's the most confident person in the world is Hot Take Hickey, because this is what he said last week about these reports.
This is Ryan Hickey of the Zach Gelb Show. The date is August 23rd, 2023. It is 8.04 p.m. Eastern Time on this Wednesday show. There is a negative 100% chance Jonathan Taylor in a week from now will be on any team not named the Indianapolis Colts. He is not getting traded, to pull Charles Barkley, guaranteed.
We shall see. We shall see how this pans out in the next 24 hours. Oh, please. If you listen to this show, you know it and I know it. You want to see Jonathan Taylor get traded tomorrow. Come on, sports gods. You got one more wish from me. I want Taylor traded. Please grant it. Please, please, please. If a genie comes down today and says, you get three wishes, Zach, I said I only want one wish. Jonathan Taylor getting traded, just to see how Hickster will backpedal out of this one. Next question.
Well, part of the reason why I want Jonathan Taylor on the Colts is help the development of rookie quarterback Anthony Richardson. In that same division, another rival team has now mentioned or made it official they are starting their rookie quarterback. That's the Houston Texans. As D'Amico Ryans announced after yesterday's preseason finale, that C.J. Stroud will officially be the starter for week number one. Now, Bryce Young of the Panthers, Stroud of the Texans, and now Richardson of the Colts. All three first-round picks starting. First time this is happening since 2015, where every quarterback taken in the first round is starting week number one. Onsides or offsides, Zach? C.J. Stroud, of the three, will have the best rookie season.
I'm actually going to go onsides to this one, and I think that's going to surprise a lot of people because I like Bryce Young the most out of these three rookie quarterbacks. That line in Carolina is starting to concern me. I don't love Miles Sanders. All they have is Adam Thielen. I know the Texans don't have a ton, but their running back did a good job last year in his rookie season. I just kind of feel as if C.J. Stroud will be average. I think he'll be fine, and that could probably answer this question on who's going to be the best rookie quarterback in 2023, because I don't really have high expectations for for any of the three here in year number one. But long term, yeah, I have the most highest expectations, I should say, for one Bryce Young.
And finally, week zero kicked off on Saturday. Number six, USC was on fire, at least offensively. Reigning Heisman Trophy winner Caleb Williams threw four touchdowns as the Trojans won 56-28 over San Jose State.
Defense stunk, though.
They did. They were not very good. On the other side, on the other side of the world, in Ireland, number 13, Notre Dame had their way with Navy. New quarterback Sam Hartman threw for 251 yards and four touchdowns in that romp of a win for the Irish. Onsides or offsides, either USC or Notre Dame will make the college football playoff.
I kind of wanted to pick Notre Dame, but their schedule is too tough, so I don't think they'll make the college football playoff. And Pac-12, when you look at USC or the field, I go with the field. I don't trust the USC defense, so either USC or Notre Dame will make the college football playoff. Onsides. Offsides, excuse me.
Offside.
Real quickly, I was thinking about something else. That's why I butchered that there for a second. I can't get off this idea that you went to 13 bars this weekend. Did you do the Nikola Jokic dance? Did you see that when he was dancing over the weekend?
Yeah, he's got more moves than I do, so I did not do that.
I thought you
had some
good dance moves. I saved
the dancing for the pros.
I thought you said you had some good dance moves, you once told me. I saw a video of you once, drunk as a skunk at a wedding, and you got yelled to get off the stage, and you look like you had decent dance moves.
If the atmosphere is right, good music on, I'll let it rip without a doubt. I don't think I'm very good, and I think most people would agree, but I'll let it rip, no shame. But like, we didn't go to any clubs.
Okay.
So I'm not dancing and moving and grooving.
It looks like, I know he's not standing on a chair, but it looks like he's standing on like seven chairs.
Very tall against normal people.
You know, you're what? 5'11"?
5'11".
I'm 6'4". I think we maybe got to go to where Nikola Jokic is hanging out. We'd like fit right in. We'd look like a bunch of tall guys there. It'd be fun to party it up with the MVP. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.